Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show hosted by Crave Wrestling. I am Chris Featherstone, along always with Ryan Fuqua.
Good evening out there. Hope everybody enjoyed their Memorial Day weekend. Rode the Summer Slam for us wrestling fans.
Absolutely. And this show is guaranteed to deliver like Big Show's fist to Brodus Clay's face this week, so that is our oath to you. Thank you, everyone who is listening. For all those who listen every week, thank you so much for your support. For all our new listeners, thank you so much. Feel free to call in. The number is 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. As we always do, Raw, SmackDown, TNA, Impact Wrestling, and ROH, along with the Flavor of the Week topic, which will be discussing the careers of John Cena and Randy Orton to see if they parallel or not. That's your call. We'll see after we talk about it and see how it pans out. So please log on to the chat room. There's a start off topic in there that you'll see when you log into. And as I do always every week, if there is an answer or a comment that is worthy of being said on air live, I definitely will do it. So let's go to last week's errors. For some odd reason, I kept saying Kirk Hawkins and Zack Ryder, but Tyler Rex is the person that I kept meaning to refer to. It, I guess I'm going back to the Edgeheads back in the day. It's interesting how they looked like brothers when they had longer hair, but now they don't look anything alike. So interesting what a hair change can do to you. Ezekiel Jackson addressed his woes on a YouTube video, and Kurt Angle and Undertaker was indeed SmackDown. It was the 4th of July, 2002, and Rock Angle and Taker was Vengeance of 2002. That was the that year's July pay-per-view. So a little did you know that Vengeance was the same pay-per-view that Jericho lost against a relatively unknown John Cena. So, and it was just an impromptu match that wasn't even scheduled. So, yeah. So Jericho's jobbing woes goes back 10 years to the month almost. So, thank you, Jericho, for being selfless and willing to put people over. A lot of legends can't say the same, but Jericho can. So let's go on to Raw. We first saw a Big Show promo, and it was a a little long to me. He's not that good on the mic. For him to go that long, it was just a little bit too much for me. One interesting thing he said was he mentioned Brodus Clay dancing after he begged for his job. So we saw that pan out a little bit later in the show and maybe set up something in the future.
Yeah, I really like, actually, I'm okay with the Big Show heel promo. I felt like last week's was a lot better with the how dare yous. But this week, maybe it went a little too long, but I did enjoy it. It actually put me over as being okay with show being heel now. Because, this is, with the explanation, even though it was a week too late, I liked his explanation, saying, like, hey, I got fired, and these guys are dancing, and Kofi and Truth are out there doing this, so I'm okay with it. I can buy into it. I'm all right with the show being healed now. And plus, it definitely helps with him being relevant. Can't remember the last time he was this relevant. Probably, I want to say, when he was involved with Vicky and Edge, but I don't even know if he was really that relevant then, you know, so.
I don't know, man. I have to beg to differ on a show's heel run. Kind of tough for me. I just don't see it yet. I'm not sold. Not yet. And I don't know. A lot of people believe that it's about time for him to hang up the boots. And I don't know if I'm gonna go that far, but close to it, because I don't know. Yeah. Just random face and heel turns. He was just face, what, 2009 or 2010, one or the other, before he got drafted to SmackDown, when he was tag champs with Show Miz in Jira Show. And I believe that was early 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Because, well, Show Miz was, they had that, was a WrestleMania match against John Morrison and R-Truth.
That was
25, right? Yeah,
right.
So.
Man, I'm sorry. Because if Miz was in the 2011 main event.
Right, yeah. So that was
2010.
Yeah, it was 2010. So it seemed like it wasn't. It seemed like it was longer than that when he was a heel, but but it was only been 2 years, so I don't know. I'm not sold yet, but we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I'll be rational and open myself up to it. So, like I said, numbers 347-884-8452. I want to take a quick moment to acknowledge our sponsors for this show. Our sponsors are Wrestling Feed. Definitely check them out. Go to www.wrestlingfeed.com and check them out on Facebook. Very, very good site for wrestling news and very up to date. And also WrestleManiacs. They're a very, very, very good site. Check them out on Facebook. WrestleManiacs on Facebook. Very, very supportive, and they have a very good up to date wrestling news as well, and very diverse and different wrestling organizations. They cover a lot of independent organizations and like Dragon Gate and different things like that. They actually have a card of a new independent show that's coming up here, so definitely. Shout out to WrestleManiacs and Wrestling Feed, our sponsors for this evening. Also, the like I said before, the title song, the theme song to the Pancakes and Power Show is actually called Pancakes and Power Slams, and it's done by Eric Cross. So definitely check Eric Cross out on iTunes, E-R-I-C-C-R-O-S-S, Eric Cross. So thank you all. Thank you for our sponsors and our theme song. And so, let's keep going here to the next segment. Alberto Del Rio defeats Santino. I guess it made sense, relatively made sense. So the only thing is that I'm not too big of a fan is that it was a squash match. So, you know, Santino's the U.S. champ, and to me, Del Rio isn't, I mean, he's still kind of upper mid-card to me. I would actually be fine with a feud between Del Rio and Santino. He's just not there to me right now, and I've mentioned that in previous shows, but he just doesn't cut the mustard for me as far as a top guy right now. And seemingly, as we saw on SmackDown, he's now the number one contender. They were going to do that for the Over the Limit pay-per-view, but it seems like they didn't really have enough confidence in it, and they threw the Fatal 4-Way together. So I just don't understand. Unless there's some type of stipulation to the match, I don't see why this would be any different.
Yeah, you know my feelings with Alberto Del Rio. I like the guy a lot, man. Like he's I guess if I had a Booker T Faye 5, he'd definitely be in there. I don't know about the main eventer like that. So, but as for Santino, I think they should just let Santino be Santino, just be the comic relief, and move the U.S. title off of him, because he doesn't, I mean, yeah, it's making him a little more relevant, giving him a little more steam, but just for the comic relief, the stuff we've been seeing with him and Ricardo, I mean, they could do that by itself, and I would be way more interested in that than seeing Santino in the U.S. title match.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, that's my boy. Santino's my boy, so.
I like him and Rodriguez are hilarious together, though.
Oh yeah, definitely. and for those who don't know, I mean, Ricardo Rodriguez, he definitely has a lot of wrestling experience. He actually came from FCW, and he definitely knows what he's doing. As you can see, I mean, he does the cross body blocks. He you can tell that it's, you know, pretty crispy. So you know, maybe put him in the ring a little more, you know, just for that type of comic relief. It'll be you know, interesting. So I feel that it would be interesting. Then we saw an Eve, Alex Riley, and Big Show backstage segment. You know, that's our Riley moment of the night. Unfortunately, you know, he takes the short end of the segment again and gets rammed into a wall by the Big Show. So I really don't know what they could do with Riley in the future. You know, usually people say it's easy to say, well, turn him heel, but, you know, it that wouldn't be good because there's an overage of heels right now and he'll just be buried. But I don't know, maybe at least have a couple good spots, maybe a Money in the Bank or something like that, or maybe in a four-way or you know, some type of something, you know, that makes him relevant, because he's really got it. You know, he has a ton of potential, but they just don't use him right.
Yeah, they see fit to only use him to wrestle debuting superstars, and I guess get beat up by Big Show in the back. So,
yeah.
I don't know. At least give him a speaking role, you know, something where he's just letting him cut promos on the mic, because he can talk on the mic too. So he's pretty interesting. So I wouldn't be mad if they just did that, a speaking role, you know.
Something that, you know, get him out of this, you know, rut that he's in right now. So, yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Calls, 347-884-8452. Thank you so much for listening, and definitely check out the chat room. Go ahead and flood those, that chat room up and start making the comments, and I'll definitely say them if it's worthy to be said. There's a topic going on right now. if you think Chris Jericho should turn face when he returns, and we'll get to that soon. We're going to cover this week's news here very soon after Raw. We're changing the format up a little bit, but we'll get to this week's news. Next, we have R-Truth and Kofi Kingston defeating Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. Man, I just they are Kofi and Truth. They're growing on me. We made a comment about the lack of chemistry beforehand, but they're really growing on me. The double drop kick, to the outside on Ziggler, I believe it was. And then just the catapult to the crossbody, and I personally think that the Truth's finisher is one of the best in the WWE. It's very snappy. It's very, it's very sellable, and definitely better than the little corkscrew. I barely hit you elbow that he does. That for some reason Booker T's favorite moves. He always sets up for that pretty funny, or the scissors kick. So I think that's a really snappy move. I like it a lot, and it's really good for a team like that. And so I'm a fan now. I'm on board. I'm on board with R-Truth and Kofi Kingston, and definitely hope that, like I said before and wrote in one of my articles, that they keep the title for a while. Then we also saw some post-match dissension from Ziggler and Swagger, so we'll see how that pans out as well.
Yeah, it was really good, and that really excited me. I'm excited to see where this goes for Ziggler to be upset, a little dissension in the ranks, as they say. And rightfully so, his character should have been frustrated because these two, Swagger and Ziggler, they just continue to, they lose so much. It's crazy. I don't know if how much showing off you're doing when you rarely win.
Yeah.
But I did want to say, you know what you're getting with these four superstars. You know you're going to get a good spot. I do like how Vicky still gets the crowd going. I think Eve needs to take notes on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's just I'm more interested in what Ziggler's going to do. So can't wait to see where that goes.
Yeah. Yep, then we saw Big Show and a Santino backstage segment, and Show's bullying stopped by Brodus Clay, who challenges the Big Show to a match. The first part I didn't like at all, but the second part I liked a ton. I loved it. You called it the past for a number of weeks of how you want Brodus Clay to have a better role as a face, a more serious role as a face. And when we heard Hey, we were thinking that it would be someone on Big Show's level, and then we saw Brodus Clay's face, and it worked out to me. I liked it a lot, and it was definitely worthy to be mentioned that he is having a more serious role as a face, so it seems. You still have the Funkadelics, I believe that they are, or Funkadactyls.
Funkadactyls, yeah.
Yeah, Funkadactyls, yeah. Cameron and Naomi, they still, are with him, but, he still has that more serious role and not as cheesy. So I'm a big fan of it, and I definitely hope that they take it further than just this week.
Yeah, this is what I've been begging for. Had me really excited to see the main event, and we'll get to that. But I don't know if I liked how it turned out. But, yeah, I was so excited for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we saw a John Laurinaitis in-ring segment. He announces that Cena's show will be in a cage in No Way Out. And then he revealed himself to be on the cover of WWE 13, and unfortunately wasn't real because CM Punk came out and revealed the Chew cover with him on it. An interesting little segment there. Something that you said a couple weeks ago, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, really, I mean, who is Laura Knight is feuding with still? You know, seemingly shows out the equation. So, but still, though, I mean, it just seems like every time he mentions something about John Cena, CM Punk comes out. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's something. I don't know if there's something cryptic about that, or you know. But he comes out as his spokesboy now, and I just don't understand that. And he came out this week too, and I don't know. I don't know if they're kind of just keeping this, you know, keeping some life in this for the future. But I don't really think that they should do anything about it right now because I don't think it's a good idea to do this because it shouldn't take away, you know, the potential feuds that CM Punk could have as the WWE champion. So if anything, they should keep it. If they want to keep this going, they should do it for real, you know, like they did with Cena, and possibly bring someone in, you know, as a henchman for Laurinaitis other than show, because a Punk show for you to me just would be kind of awkward. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, CM Punk and Laurinaitis have been, well, Cena too. Those have been the main two who he's been feuding with or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's been going on a long time, so they need to pick who it's going to be and stick with that. And then real quick, just with the whole cover of the video game, I was thinking to myself yesterday, like, man, I guess if anybody deserved to be on that cover this year, it would be CM Punk. So, mm-hmm. I mean, because dating back to his last July, the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, where he took the title and so-called left. I mean, it's been a breakout year for him, so congrats to him because he's the main superstar that deserves it. And, yes, he dropped the W-bomb by saying he was a wrestler.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I should have had my sensors out and censored that, too.
Yeah.
You said the
wrestling
the
game, a wrestler. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I guess CM Punk can, can do that. So, yeah, but feel free to call in. We'll be accepting calls about how you feel about Raw, and also I'm going to do the this week's news. And let us know what you feel. 347-884-8452, and we will go on to Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk. We saw some AJ involvement and Kane post-match attack on Bryan. And, I really didn't understand this that much, honestly. She gives CM Punk a chair, you know, has the Punk shirt on. It seems like, you know, she has a crush on Punk. And then, you know, because Bryan, he was beating up on Kane beforehand and with the chair. And it was a little awkward to me because it seems like they were doing a full turn with Kane. And then all of a sudden he looks at Punk and tries to hit him with the chair. And AJ gives him a chair and then he beats Kane down with it. So I guess he's a tweener now, but I really don't know what they want to do with Punk. He was coming out on SmackDown to be one of the people for the World Heavyweight title. Didn't really pan out, you know, the way that he wanted. Now he's involved in the WWE title picture. So I really don't. I mean, obviously he's a spot filler, but I really don't understand exactly what they want to do with Kane right now. It's kind of confusing.
Yeah. You know me, I'd rather have him face. But this was actually, I don't know if you paid attention, this is the second Over the Limit rematch of the night, with the first being the tag match earlier. So that was a little weird. I really don't see the reason for AJ, because I'd rather have what they got going on, like you said, with Kane being the tweener in this feud and dipping in that. I'd rather them have Kane go back and forth with these two, and then maybe possibly lead to a triple threat somewhere down the line, then keep AJ out of there, because I, like we said last week, I don't know why they're watering down CM Punk's feuds with the good superstars. But
yeah,
the Kane's choke slams, oh my, man, the choke slams he's been giving Daniel Bryan have been aggressive.
It has.
It's like ever since that mishap with Big Show, he's been making up for it.
Yeah, I wonder if he got talked about that in the back. So, interesting little tidbit there. We saw the Christian defeat Miz. Looks like he's sticking with the Frog Splash finisher. Good commentary from Cody Rhodes. One little part of his commentary that I found pretty amusing. He referred to Christian as the sunset of sports entertainment and called himself the sunrise of sports entertainment, which is pretty funny there. But I'm a fan of it. I mean, I think that this is what the Intercontinental title is all about. I mean, we saw Jinder Mahal. We saw a couple other people that he beat through Raw and SmackDown for Christian. And I think it's definitely much needed. I mean, this is what the Intercontinental title is all about. It's often defended. It's, you know, really spotlighting the mid-card talent. And every time Christian walks out there, I'm a fan, because he's definitely a good flag bearer, so to speak, for the Intercontinental title. And I think that he is definitely one of those people that will definitely be able to really revive the title, like Cody Rhodes, you know, said that he was going to do back when he won it last year. And I think that Christian definitely, with the overage of mid-card heels right now, doing this would definitely shine some spotlight on a lot of the heels right now that really doesn't have anything to do.
Yeah, good job for them to have Christian defend this thing, because it's been collecting dust, so that's why I can't really get into Cody Rhodes, what he was saying, like bringing the relevancy back, like he was saying it last week on SmackDown and last night, because he didn't defend it like that. He just wore the title. Like, we have maybe 3 pay-per-view defenses, it seemed like, so for them to have him cut promos saying he brought relevancy back and did this and that, I'm not buying it. So, but it was nice to see, like I said, nice to see Christian. He gets up there on that frog splash.
He does.
For an older guy, so, good to see.
Kudos to him for that. Then we saw John Laurinaitis, David Otunga, and Eve segment in the back. Eve, just please, just acting lessons, mentoring by, you know, just go to someone to get mentored, something. I've talked and I've said time and time again, just how much I'm not a fan of Eve, but, you know, now more than anything, it's not getting better to me. Her acting, her mic work isn't getting any better to me, and it's just getting kind of ridiculous, honestly, and annoying to see her. And poor Teddy Long, I mean, having him in this position again, because I don't know if the listeners remember or not, but he had more of a serving type of role for a while when he was when he was under Vicky, he got moved down to an assistant. So, you know, hopefully this leads to something, because just seeing that big old sign of hello, my name is Teddy, it's a little sad to me. And then Otunga challenged Sheamus because Laurinaitis was upset with both of them. And a little quote that he said that was interesting, he said, in 10 or 20 years from now, I may want to retire. So that was pretty funny. And I think I heard someone laughing, and I believe it was Michael Cole. Yeah. If anybody has that DVR'd, go back to that segment and listen very closely. You'll hear someone cracking up laughing, and it sounded like Michael Cole. So funny little part about that segment that I found amusing.
Yeah, he couldn't hold it back. Only thing I really got to say here is just, like, you hit the nail on the head with Eve, just can't act. So just shocked they still are giving her a chance, because it's that bad to where they've just, I know they notice it, so they know they made a mistake. But, I mean, even going back to when Eve was just the diva wrestler, or when she was the analyst interviewing people backstage, like, she never had that flash or appeal or spark. Like, I'm guessing she just doesn't have a lot of personality in real life. So maybe that's why she struggles with this so much. So
that's
the only thing I can think of.
I wonder if eventually they'll go noticed, because you've got to be a natural on the mic. You just have to. You can't just force it and expect it to work. And it really seems forced with Eve, so I wonder if there's an expiration date to this position if she just doesn't. She doesn't.
It's like she's memorizing lines. You know,
exactly.
Like
exactly. Yeah. Yes. Very well said. Then we saw Miz stand in the ring, and he complains. He's interrupted by Randy Orton and RKO'd. And then backstage, Ziggler said, he tells Vicky that he wants out of a current team and wants to be moved to SmackDown. So I guess that's a little speck of light to the dismal path of Dolph Ziggler. And what it seems like right now, as far as Miz is concerned, it just seems like he's a spot filler, filling in Jericho's position. We'll get to why Jericho wasn't there. They said it on the show, but we'll get a little bit more in depth to it and actually have a little discussion and read some of the comments from the chat room about Jericho's status right now. But yeah, there's a little speck of light that we've seen from Ziggler and Miz. Poor Miz. I mean, you know, just a spot filler. I mean, nothing big that's going to come out of this. It seems like it's going to be just a really big. It's a very kind of a throwaway feud, so to speak, and just a very quick build to No Way Out because of Jericho's status.
Yeah, hard to believe that Miz was a main eventer, man. It's going to be tough for him to get back. Because that crowd was flat when he came out. But
Yeah.
We see where Orton's going now. I didn't know if they'd use Miz or Dolph. So either one, I mean, it'd be fine. Dolph would probably be better. But unless Orton's going to put Ziggler over, then I don't want to see it. So, but this was the most exciting minute of the entire night for me. So Orton comes out, quick RKO. And we see Ziggler say that he wants to be in Orton's spot, that singles competitor like that, and that's what I've been wanting. So, most exciting minute of the night.
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to call in with your Raw thoughts, 347-884-8452. What do you feel about Raw? Definitely would like to hear you live on air right now, and got some people in the chat room right now. There's a question going on, do you think that Jericho should be a baby face upon his return? Definitely. We got a comment right now that I'm going to read here shortly. Then we saw Brodus Clay come out, and Big Show comes out and cuts another promo. He's definitely a little heavy on the promos now, and talks about Brodus Clay not having any talent, and mentions Dork the Clown, and then he beats up Clay, and Kofi and R2 tries to come out and make the save, but gets beat up too, and I mean, you know, a good way to gain heel heat for show, and you know, relative no contest, but they kept, I don't know, I guess it was just a really big heel heat gainer, because they kept mentioning Brodus Clay being 22-0 upon his return. You know, I think, I guess it's just the critic and just the sports writer in me that just notices those really, really intricate details. And, so it seems like they were doing all that to set up for something, and we definitely saw what they were setting up for. I wasn't totally disapproving of this segment. I don't know if I would have ended the night with it, but other than that, I can understand. I'll ration with the segment. I'll understand what the meaning is, and you know, I'll just wait for the outcome.
Yeah, I was so anxious for this one until it started. Yikes! Didn't see that coming. Not to say that ending the night like that, like the heel ending of the show, was okay, but, and I get why they did it, building up Destruction, Big Show, and making him over to be this monster. But here's the thing for me, Cena not being there. Okay. Now, out of all the times, I don't know what, he's supposed to be fired, he was supposed to be drafted to SmackDown and got drafted back to Raw the next week. There was something else where he was supposed to be off TV, and he was still there each week. Why now does he miss an episode? Like, I don't, now to sell the Big Show as being dominant? Really? That's your,
yeah,
I don't,
exactly.
I really don't understand that one.
Yeah.
Like, the past, in the, from last year to now, the 52 Mondays, you know, so, or 53, since it's a leap year, probably. But he's been on everyone, and he was, like, fired, did seem like, twice in 1 year. So,
yeah,
I just don't get it. Last night is not tonight.
Yeah, and then even Michael Cole kind of, you know, advertised him coming back next week. Like,
yeah.
Like he's been gone for 8 or 9 months, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that was weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. So you're right. I mean, no Cena, and interestingly enough, and what makes it so sad is I noticed this after the show, but no Tensai appearance either. So
yeah.
Talk about someone with no direction. There you go. Well, so
no diva spot either.
No diva spot, and yeah. So yeah, it was kind of a lopsided Raw to me. I kind of see where they're going with it. If anybody have any opinions that they want to air on, they want to say on air, feel free to call. We'll be accepting calls here at 347-884-8452. But yeah, just an interesting Raw to me, and I just don't understand how it'll pan out, but I guess we'll just wait for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm anxious too, but overall, I think I'd give that. I guess I could give the Raw a 7. I mean, even without Cena, it was actually okay, so it was okay.
7 is really nice. You know, I'm critical about stuff like that. I'd give it about a 5.5, 6, honestly, but we'll see. I'm a little bit more open to how they're building their way out. Not a big fan of how they're building up. Doesn't seem like it's going to be that good of a pay-per-view for No Way Out to come back, because it's been gone for a while, but we'll see how it goes. We'll actually go to this week's news. TNA sues the WWE for trade secret violation. Chris Jericho, we'll go to that soon and actually talk a little bit about it. Rock scheduled to come back in early 2013 instead of for his WrestleMania feud, whoever that may be. So no longer a SummerSlam or Survivor Series build up, or definitely not a year build like Cena's was. Brock Lesnar, he meets with Dana White from UFC. He's considering a UFC return. Hashtag flighty. That's what I have to say about that. Jillian Hall arrested for domestic violence and separates from husband because of it. And then lastly, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho was arrested during a house show incident in Brazil, where he just simply played the heel, and he took a Brazilian flag and kicked it, and you know he just threw it to the ground and kicked it, and was forced to apologize and so on and so forth. And yeah, it was just ridiculous to me. I am not, you know, and I've seen and I've heard a lot of opinions about this. I honestly think that this was just over the top. I mean, he's suspended for 30 days. It was first indefinitely, but now 30 days. I understand. I'm not necessarily blaming the WWE, but I understand where they're coming from. But if anybody else has any thoughts about this, feel free to call in. We'll accept a call for it now. Call it to 347-884-8452. But yeah, I don't quite understand why that was such a big deal. You know what I mean? And you know, WWE had to do what they had to do and suspend him for an amount of time. It was indefinite first, and they you know, they decided on 30 days, but I mean, he's just playing a role. I mean, it's like, you know, do they arrest, you know, someone who plays a movie role of a murderer or serial killer? You know what I mean? Do they arrest that guy, or you know what I mean, at the end of the shoot? And you know, and it's like, I just don't understand. The wrestling business is, you know, sports entertainment. You know, I mean, there's some theatrics in there. There's some acting that's involved, and people know that. So, you know, he was just playing a good heel. JBL said something really good about it too. He was just, you know, talking about, you know, kind of what I was saying as far as, you know, he's just playing the role, so he shouldn't be penalized for that. And he's doing a good job playing the role as a heel. Jericho's a really, really good heel, and he just plays the role. So I don't quite understand why this was such a big deal. But I guess, and you know, for the respect of Brazil, the WWE felt a need to penalize Jericho in some form or fashion.
Yeah, from a Brazilian law standpoint and them arresting him, doesn't bother me. That's their thing. Okay, I get it. He broke a Brazilian law. Now, did he know or not? Whatever, that doesn't matter. I still think, I heard rumors that he was supposed to apologize and didn't, so then they arrested him. I don't know how true
that is. Well, he actually did
it.
I saw the video of him apologizing. So, yeah, he did apologize. He kind of stayed in kayfabe, but he apologized.
For him to stay in his character, yeah, I was going to say that's pretty funny to me. But, yeah, from the Brazilian standpoint, that's their law. Okay, I get that. Now, for WWE standpoint with their punishment, I don't understand it at all. Like you said, it's extreme for them to suspend him like that, especially being one of their top guys. You would think they would have played into this or something, used it as a storyline or something to get him more heel heat. But that's just, I mean, it's WWE now, so, and really not many people would have known about it. So, and to me, it's so watered down. Like the whole Finley thing, how he got fired for having The Miz come out during the national anthem.
Yeah.
that one really was like, really, didn't you guys like have what's his name, Iron Sheik or whoever, Slaughter, burn a flag,
Sergeant Slaughter,
and Iron Sheik. And even the troops should know it's part of a show. It's entertainment.
Exactly.
We can do it in a movie, but we can't do it in other things like that. I don't know. That's my burn on that. I'm still upset about that Finley firing, though. That still, to me, is, unjustifiable.
Yeah, especially for him still to be gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
entertainment.
That was...
Now, that should have been, a suspension would have been fine for that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and then firing Goldust for, I mean, this is slightly off topic with just random fires, firing Goldust for just miscuing one spot. You know? Yeah, I don't understand the logic that comes behind the firing. I guess at the end of the day, they have a budget and they just find, you know, people who they deem expendable, you know what I mean? But I don't understand it. So,
they're punishment. Not the same for everybody across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report today about why I feel that Chris Jericho should become a face when he comes back. Many reasons why that he should become a face. His most recent heel run has been very lackluster in the past 2 years. Yes, he won a world title, but he didn't keep it long. He won it at Elimination Chamber and lost it at Extreme Rules. Unfortunately, that's been most of his world title tenures has been very short. I think the longest one was his first one when he won it at Armageddon, December of, 2001. And lost it at WrestleMania 2002. So, yeah. Other than that, you know, I really not long runs, unfortunately. But I mean, something has to drastically change in Jericho's direction right now. Yes, he's a legend. Yes, he's a shoo-in Hall of Famer. But at the same time, it's like, you know. His current run, especially returning and his losing streaks, yeah, you're putting people over, but you're not really helping anybody. I mean, you haven't helped. I mean, I'm just really, I mean, and this is coming from someone who, you know, Chris Jericho is my favorite wrestler. So, I mean, you know, I'm being this hurts me to say it, but it's true nonetheless. He's not helping. He's not helping at all Punk or Sheamus' career. Neither of their careers have propelled. And, you know, just interesting things like that that I don't understand why, you know, he's still on this path of staying heel just to put people over. It's just not working for me. I created a little, you know, potential route for him to become a face. I would bring him back at the about 2 or 3 weeks before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view in July, and actually have him kind of go, you know, back and forth with John Laurinaitis, and somehow Laurinaitis tries to stop him from being in the Money in the Bank match. Jericho somehow won some type of match or some type of gauntlet or something like that they can set that up with, and then he wins the Money in the Bank, and there's his face run, you know. And you know, he can take some time off. He didn't have to be at SummerSlam. He has the briefcase, you know. He's not going to be around that time because of touring with Fozzy, so he can miss SummerSlam. That's cool, and come back and start a, you know, feud at Survivor Series with the plethora, one of the plethora of heels At that time, Wade Barrett would be back, so that would be that. There's definitely some history there, so he can set up a feud with Wade Barrett. So there's many different reasons and different ways that he can become a face again. This heel thing is just not working. Kyle here says in the chat room he thinks that Jericho would get some initial sympathy based on the recent suspension, but eventually it'll wear off, kind of like the yes, yes, yes Daniel Bryan chance. And he feels that Jericho is too good of a heel, but just needs to be used better from a creative standpoint. I can understand that. The only thing is that I think that we've seen too much of Jericho as a heel. He hasn't really had a solid face run. Even when he came back in 07, he feuded against JBL, was probably his only. They were teasing a few with Orton, but really JBL was his only real legit face feud. And then he started doing, you know, feuding with Shawn Michaels, and he turned heel when he hit Shawn Michaels with the Jericho 5000 or whatever. But we haven't really seen a solid face run for a period of time with Jericho for quite some time. So why not do it, in my opinion?
Yeah, definitely the face run would be super awesome, but I think I'd just use him as a stepping stone, or, you know, put over Ziggler. I think it'd be the perfect time. Within, you know, 30 days he comes back, Ziggler's broken on to singles competition, maybe you got him and Ziggler feuding, and he can put over Ziggler, since, I mean, he's so used to putting over people anyway. Why not do something for the good? And then also, like you, I know you said this to me before, but he could, the way he used to do Stephanie McMahon back in his early days with WWE, he could do that with Vicky Guerrero. I mean, he could mess with her and cut promos on her, and that would be awesome. So
yeah, definitely.
That'd be the way I would use him from then, and then see how it goes after that, because it would definitely help Dolph.
It would help Dolph. I just it's hard for me to agree with the putting him over. I would actually rather. I think that Orton has a lot more steam than Jericho right now. If Jericho came back and Ziggler put over Jericho, it would just be another. Ziggler's the next person on the list. So I think if Ziggler and Orton had a feud, and Ziggler went over Orton, would be a lot better. Even Cena, really. Orton would be, it would be a lot more chemistry with Orton and Ziggler. We'll see how that goes, with Ziggler's new, possible defecting to SmackDown. So, speaking of SmackDown here, we will go, and like we do every week, if you want to call in and just give us your opinion on everything, the number is 347-884-8452. Thank you so much for those who are in the chat room, and definitely feel free to call in. We saw WWE SmackDown. We saw Eve promo, and interrupted by Alberto Del Rio, and then Orton, and then Kane. Triple threat match was scheduled for later on the night. Christian beat Hunico. Darren Young and Tano Sonnell beat the Usos. Sin Cara returns next week. Ryback defeated Brian Edwards and Kevin Bendel. Santino defeated Ricardo Rodriguez. Sheamus apologizes and interrupted by Vicky. Defeats Jack Swagger. Damian Sandow defeats Yoshitatsu. We saw a Big Show promo again. And Alberto Del Rio defeated Randy Orton and Kane for number one contender for No Way Out. Then he gets bro kicked by Sheamus. So, not bad at SmackDown, honestly. New theme song by the I don't know what their saying is. Millions of dollars. That's what it is. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, a new theme song, but their entrance weren't shown, so that's a little odd. The Shiner and Ryback. I don't know how that happened. But the finisher though, when he picked them both up, that was pretty awesome. And then Ricardo Rodriguez introduced himself. That was pretty funny. So, and then lastly, Damian Sandow's gear. It's like a mixture between Vic Martel and Lanny Poffo to me. I just don't understand it. It's a bit odd. He's a heck of a wrestler, but a bit odd for me.
Yeah, I like Sandow so far. Like the cartwheel afterwards. I thought that was hilarious. The finisher, that's like a modified, some type of regal cutter or something there. So even though he only did, what, two moves, so the Russian leg sweep first and then that cutter neck breaker thing. But, yeah, I'm with you. I didn't expect to see that type of gear under that robe, so that's funny to me. Ryback, really? Like, I'll give it to you. Yeah, the finish was awesome. That is amazing. I could never do that. But, man, we're really back to jobbers. Come on. I hope it was just to have him, you know, them to sell that move. I mean, because he was facing the SmackDown roster the past, what, 3 weeks? So just move forward. No more jobbers, please, please, please. Wish they would have explained the Shiner, too, so. But usually, sometimes they do explain what happens, or they'll just say, took a bump at a non-televised show, or, you know, they'll say something. But, I don't know. And then I noticed one last thing, Sheamus and Swagger. I don't know. Seems like Sheamus is more the fighting champion than Punk is, because I've seen that they have Sheamus take on different superstars pretty much weekly or maybe every other week. I don't know. He's faced a diverse group of superstars, whereas Punk is just into his feuds and kind of just on one superstar at a time. Well, it just seems like Sheamus is more of the fighting champion than me. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, but... Yeah,
that's an interesting observation. We got open fight night for TNA. Impact Wrestling. We saw a meeting with Hulk Hogan with the four candidates. And then we saw Gail Kim and Madison Rayne defeat EY and ODB. RVD defeated Gunner. Devon, he won. Actually, it was DQ with interference from Robbie E. and Robbie T. Bully Ray calls out Joseph Park, and they have some commotion. The Gut Challenge is Austin Aries versus defeated Joey Ryan, and then Bobby Roode defeated AJ Styles. Sting returns, and Hogan announces a lumberjack match for next week. Open fight night this month. Kind of rough to me. I just wasn't that big of a fan of it, and I had a lot to expect. Just because the world title was defended, but. I just wasn't a fan of it. This is supposed to be the script, and it's not anymore. You know, that was ridiculous to me. And then the matches were okay, but good to see Sting return. But other than that, I wasn't big on it at all.
The only thing really negative I can say here, which is shocking for me and Impact. Opening fight night doesn't excite me. Like, I never got into that concept anyway. But that's really, I mean, I actually enjoyed this episode of TNA. The opener kind of felt like an episode of Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know. Like, it was kind of weird, man. Like, seemed like some type of reality show. But, I was into it. I was wanting to hear what Hogan had to say and who he was going to pick. So, that was cool. Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. But the only thing was, like, why are they telling everybody that this is a script, you know?
RVD's frog splash from that angle they showed, man. That was like, I don't know, he was going back in the day, going far, man, coast to coast almost. That was cool. Robbie T, I'm guessing, is the bigger of the two.
Yeah, Rob Terry.
Man, I don't know if it was just that segment, but he was not really selling the moves. I don't know if you paid attention enough. But
if you go back and look,
he was not selling the moves, and it was blatant. So, I don't know. I wasn't feeling that. But Joey Ryan and Austin Aries, wow, that match was amazing.
That's Aries for you.
Yeah, I can't say enough about him, man. He is good, really good. Rude style, little pay-per-view caliber, that was cool. Rude, man. The celebration afterwards was funny, and telling Hawk to come out and come celebrate with his champion, that was funny to me. So, and then just the classic return of somebody after the hill celebrating and living the high life, and then they come back down to reality. So that was good. Good way to end the show. Like I said, man, this is the first TNA I could say that I enjoyed it. It was good. I liked it.
I'm very glad that you felt that way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the expectations.
Yeah, and that's a lot coming from me, man. So, because I automatically go in, like, giving it negative points and letting it work its way back up.
Yeah, I can understand that. So. Then we saw ROH this week was just a recap of the Border Wars pay-per-view. The good thing about that is we got to see the full David Richards and Kevin Steen match. So, that was an excellent match. Kudos to them. It was a really, really good match. I enjoyed every minute of it. So that's ROH for you. Just really, really good, really, really good product. This needs a little bit more exposure. I'll say it every week.
Yeah, very good product. It just, the production budget is so shameful. If like you said, they had TNA's budget, man, watch out. But finally got to see Steen, and like you said, even though it was weeks later, I was really glad I got to see this match because that was awesome. I liked the promo afterwards too, man. The dude does it for me. He absolutely does it for me. I love Steen, man. I love the cocky heel. And then last thing real quick with this, kind of off subject, but when I was looking at ROH's title, because that was the first time I got to really see their title like up close like that. And then I looked at TNA's, and then I see the World Heavyweight Champion. It's a shame that the WWE title is the fourth best looking title out of, you know, TNA, ROH, SmackDown, or Raw. So, and that belt is awful. They got to do something. ROH has a better belt than you, too. That's tough.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. ROH reminds me of an old school WWF title. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good little shout out there. All right. Well, looks like it is time for the flavor of the week.
Yeah, this week's flavor of the week. Wanted to talk about John Cena and Randy Orton. Two guys I didn't know. Got a couple similarities here. Top faces and everything. came in at the same time, but they're kind of like the modern-day Macho Man and Hogan or Rock and Austin. But Rock and Austin, those two, didn't face cross paths really too much. I believe with Rock and Austin, their only singles matches at pay-per-views were at their three WrestleManias. I want to say maybe, I think there was like a backlash after their first Mania match. I think they had a one-on-one, but Rock and Austin, you know, that was always at the Mania, and it's fair to say that Cena and Orton right now are Rock and Austin. Maybe you could put Punk up there, but I mean, like you said, he was just breakout superstar this year. So, but Cena and Orton, the only matches, pay-per-view singles matches that they feuded at, SummerSlam of 07, Cena won that one, mm-hmm. and then No Way Out, 08, which, yeah, No Way Out's back now, and that was when it was still in February. Randy Orton intentionally got himself DQ'd, and it's actually weird because they were just setting up to Trip using his stroke in the back to have the be involved in the triple threat the next month at WrestleMania, so with Cena, Orton, and Triple H next month. Because, I don't know if you remember, Cena chose to take his title shot after winning that 08 Rumble in February at No Way Out instead of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was all Trip's doing to use his muscle there. But anyways, yeah. Got a couple similarities here between these two. They're only 3 years apart in age, and this may be a little weird. Like, both their birthdays are in April. One, like I said, one's MVP of Raw, one's MVP of SmackDown. And it's funny because they're kind of reversed, you know? Like, Cena came up making his name on SmackDown, and then Orton came up making his on Raw, and then now they're mainstays on different shows now,
mm-hmm.
the opposite show. Like we said, both entered in 2002. Both have main evented WrestleManias and main evented with WrestleManias with Triple H. both have held the World Heavyweight, WWE, and Tag titles. Thought that was pretty cool. And their tag title runs were with Hall of Famers, Cena's being with Michaels and Orton's being with Edge. Both have had, this is another crazy one, both have had the Money in the Bank cashed in on them to lose their title.
Mm.
At the time, they were both WWE. No, I can't totally say it. Yes. I want to say they're both WWE champions because I know for sure Orton was. I want to say when Edge took it from Cena, he was
yes,
WWE.
Yes.
Yeah, because he had the Rated R belt.
Yeah, January.
And then both have won Royal Rumbles. So that's a lot of similarities there. Only other thing, I guess you could say, the mid-card titles. Cena had the U.S. and Orton had the Intercontinental. So both had their turns with the mid-card status before going world or WWE champion. But the paths were a little different. Orton, of course, like I said, he's no slouch, even though he had help from Evolution to get his name out there. I really think the Legend Killer gimmick was really awesome. And that, I mean, you can kind of compare that to Cena using the rap gimmick. I mean, because both of those went on for a while. So that was pretty cool. Orton, though, man, I don't know if you, well, I know you remember, but I was shocked because he was almost out of WWE around that time he got injured and then got into trouble for,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was, he was smoking marijuana in the back.
Yep.
I didn't know
yep.
that he had got trouble for that. So that was pretty crazy. I just remember him resurrecting his career after almost being fired. You know, like he was on the line, like he was just hanging by a thread.
He jobbed a lot around that time, too.
Yeah, yeah. And then I totally forgot about the RNN, the Randy News Network.
Yep, yep.
Curly hair, arm in a sling. So that was pretty silly. But no, I mean, Cena had to make his own name. Like I said, Evolution may have gotten Randy Orton's name out there, but I think the Legend Killer gimmick got him over. And then, like I said, Cena, he made his own name. But he did have a lot of help with Brock Lesnar. If it wasn't for the F5, Cena would have never had the FU and the whole attitude thing. Yeah, like, I really think, like, he started wearing those old school WWE symbol shirts, and I think that was kind of played into it, too. It was actually pretty cool, now that I think about it, that Lesnar came back and let Cena pin him, because, you know, back then, I mean, that's, what, 9 years ago when Lesnar beat Cena back then? Brock Lesnar was really a lot of help for Cena in the beginning, so that was cool. I just say Cena had it a little tougher with, because Red Dog and B Squared aren't exactly Flair, Triple H, or Batista. I mean, that's, so to me, their careers are really similar. It's just who's going to wrestle longer. If I had to put money on it right now, I guess I definitely would say Randy Orton. But my thing is, like I said, I don't know, will we ever, I'd like to get your thoughts. Do you ever think we'll see these two face versus face at a WrestleMania? Like maybe WrestleMania 30, if both of them can stay relevant for a long time.
I don't think they'll set up face versus face, unfortunately.
I don't know. I would like it. I mean, I think it could work. It would just be, as long as they both stayed relevant, until which I don't see why they wouldn't, until WrestleMania 20. Face versus face. I mean, because if you do heel versus face, it's they're going to make Orton the heel, and they're going to have Cena win. That'd be too watered down. But it's kind of weird that, unlike Rock and Austin, you just, I don't know, I don't have that that feeling. Like, I don't think there will ever be another face versus face type of matchup that will give me that feeling, because I didn't feel like that with Rock and Cena, you know, so.
Do you think that they would?
Would they give me that, you know, like put on a good show, or is that what you mean, or? I'm not sure.
Do you think the build would be worthwhile?
The build up?
Yeah.
That's the scary part. Like, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know how I would do it, but I think people would just be into it because it's the two top guys. But the build-up, yeah, that is the scary part. I mean, it'd be trial and error. Yeah, it could work. I mean, I like how they were doing Orton and Sheamus last month for a little bit, so maybe if I seen it, it would work. It just, I don't know. The chemistry, as long as there's some chemistry there, then it'd be all good.
Okay, well, I got one for you then. How about Orton versus Cena, Cena's heel.
Wow. I mean, just from the standpoint of Cena being heel again after almost a decade, that would definitely work.
Yeah,
I mean,
think that would be a good build up.
Right off the top, that's something different, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking about that, yeah, it was pretty exciting. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think there's some potential if they had a few it wouldn't have the same zeal as Rock or Lesnar, but they definitely have been legends in their own way.
Oh yeah. I just don't know. Yeah, you kind of talked me out of it. I kind of got into it, but I don't know about them face versus face. But yeah, definitely a heel Cena versus a face Orton would be awesome. And then, like I said, CM Punk, he's got on that level this year, but I don't know about if he'd be able to be on that level with them. You know, like, they've been doing this in WWE for a decade. Like, I know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not, by no means am I saying Punk is no slouch. I know about the ROH stuff and all that. I mean, I do believe he is one of the best in the world. Not the best, but one of
many
best, though. I have a lot of best, so yeah, I can't say that. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't see who they could strike with him. Like I said, I guess he'll Cena. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag he'll Cena. That would make everything easier.
Yeah, definitely. Got a question on you from the, got a question for you from the chat room. Toots asks, he said Macho Man's been wrestling for a year now. Wrestling better or worse than it was a year ago? Any progression?
Is wrestling?
Wrestling better or worse than it was a year ago?
Oh, than this time last year? Ooh-wee. I would go with better because I definitely go with better because I didn't like, just from a WWE standpoint, I remember all the build-up about Rock and Cena, and that just made me sick. And, you know, I like both of them, but I just couldn't, yeah. Like, it was just all about Cena. I know it kind of still is, but bottom line is with Punk and what he did and last year over the summer and since then, like, he's made WWE a lot easier to watch. I mean, it's not just all Cena. It's still mostly Cena, but what Punk did, he made it way easier to watch. So, yeah, I'd have to go with better for sure.
Hmm.
Definitely better.
Yeah.
I will
say
so, too. You got more people. Like, it seems like they're doing a lot more, bringing a lot more debuts in.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, you know, we've just seen Tensai, Sandow, Ryback. And, I mean, it's not all these guys are going to make it. Not everybody's going to be enjoyable or keep our attention, but it didn't seem like we had a lot of that going on last year. I guess you could say I know Sin Cara and Alberto Del Rio off the top of my head were two debuts, I want to say, in 2011 was Sin Cara. Wow, has Alberto Del Rio been around that long?
I guess 2010 for Del
Rio.
Yeah,
I guess there wasn't really many debuts last year that I can think of off the top of my head, so.
Well, and the advent of wrestlers coming back.
So we had Lesnar come back. He'll be in and out for a while. Rock was here for, I don't know, maybe if you count all the dates up on your fingers, 10 days this year? So, I don't know.
who would be your top three superstars of the year?
Just from going from last May to now?
Yep.
If you want to go in the, like I said, CM Punk would be one. Sheamus would be two. That's really easy right there. 3 is a tough one. I can't automatically think of somebody. Like, I would want to say Ziggler, but they don't do enough with him for me to put him up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a fan, yes, but, like, as for winning the crowd over and, you know, taking control of the crowd, I don't, off the top of my head, that's really hard. But, yeah, definitely CM Punk, then Sheamus.
Daniel Bryan.
Cody Rhodes may have been out there. I'm sorry?
Daniel Bryan would be another.
Oh, yeah, duh. That's, yeah. I mean, even though he came along with this for me, like, maybe a few months ago. I mean, I liked him, but just with the whole yes stuff and then making him champion. Yeah, definitely be number 3. I would have had Cody up there at one point, but he started to get a little sour to me, so, yeah, kind of gave up on him.
Yeah.
Just not doing enough with me.
Cody's got some potential, but
they're holding him back storyline-wise, so.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. So. But yeah, definitely an interesting week. I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I'm sorry.
Oh. Definitely an interesting week. Definitely.
Yeah.
We actually have a caller here. So just tell us your name, where you're from, and what are your thoughts?
Hi, my name is Bobby. I'm from California. And I was wondering what you guys are discussing right now as far as your main topic goes. What are you guys discussing right now as far as your main topic? Sorry that I had to leave the computer so I could call in.
Oh, the top 3 wrestlers of the year for you, from last May to this May.
Well, as far as talent goes, or as far as when you crowd over, as far as a heel or a face?
Just all around.
Well, I've never really been a big fan of John Cena, but I mean, he's a great worker. He's been the face of the company for who knows how many years now. I've lost count. I gotta go as far as talent-wise, working in the ring. He sells moves incredibly. He's great at that, you know.
I'm sorry, we're having some echo problems.
Yeah,
calling back and we'll get you. Okay?
All right.
Thanks a lot. Okay, for some reason we're having some bad issues. I have no idea why. But feel free to check out Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling. Check me out. Report Chris Featherstone. For the echo issues to this show. But we'll be here next Tuesday. Once again, apologize for the glitch. But feel free to check us out next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Beer, pancakes, and power stumps. Like I said, apologize once again for the echo too, and we'll definitely get this straightened out and good for you. It's a week. So thank you for watching. Have a great week.